Psalm chapter 7, and we look in the Word of God, and we've been studying the Word of God, and thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Everybody got home safely that I know of. I still have the Landmark Baptist bus. I put a camshaft sensor on the thing, drove it down the road. She broke down on me again, had to have my wife come pull me home. And then I went and got another sensor, but I haven't got it in here yet. So hopefully I can get it going. I told Brother Massa, when I called him, I said, this happened, and we did that. And I said, look, tell you what, I said, we'll get it fixed one way or another. I said, but, and then you can come and get it. I said, but if you'll take $500 for it right now, we'll give you $500. And he started laughing. But all the kids got home safe. So, and Samson got home safe. He pulled that trailer up the road. And we had a trailer given here, and then I gave it to him, and he's going to have to tear it apart and put new wood and all that stuff in it because the roof is leaking for years, and get that fixed so he can use it at camp. Our next big event we got coming up would be Fun Day, I guess, in June the 10th, and then we got the camps coming up, and we're going to got camp going to North Carolina the 4th of July week. And then the week, 2 weeks later, is the camp up in New York. So we'll probably take the kids to both of them. I think Michael Shane and April can go to one in North Carolina, and I might go down for it. And then my wife and I guess will take the kids that want to go to New York up there to that camp. And they're supposed to have about 500 at camp this year up there in New York. It's a lot going on. Then we got the August meeting coming up. So then we go right back to doing what we got to do. And August meeting is and works out this year for me. Our vacation Bible school is what the it's the first no it's August the 6th, I think. Starts August the 6th, and it works out where I'll be home for that vacation Bible school because it's the 7th. So it works out I'll be going to Texas the 31st and back, and I'll be back before that happens. So Brother Glenn, I was praying about it. I said, man, every year it falls right on vacation Bible school. So I prayed, and so it works out where I can be back for that. I won't have to be in Texas hearing about buses breaking down or something going on. Amen. Romans chapter 7, and a great chapter of the Bible, and it's about the old nature, new nature, that kind of thing. And it's a battle goes on. Everybody in this room has got that same battle. Since you got saved, you got a battle going on. You got the new man, the old man. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. But you got that dual nature inside you. And it's always going to be a battle. And you've had a battle this week. And the battle is between the flesh and the spirit. And the spirit wants to do right. This flesh wants to do wrong. The flesh wants to be fed. The spirit wants to be fed. And the one that Doc used to draw a picture of, the old dog, a white dog and a black dog, the dog you feed is the one that's going to get the strongest. And if you feed the spiritual man is going to be able to put down the flesh. If you feed the flesh is going to tell the spiritual man what to do. The flesh will say, lay in bed on Sunday morning. It'll say, oh, you're too tired to go serve God. You're too tired to do this. You're too tired to do that. And the flesh will control you. And if you're saved, what happens is the spiritual man, if you're feeding the spiritual man, it'll control the flesh. The flesh will say, no, let's not do that. And the spiritual man said, yes, we are. We're going to do it. And we're going to read our Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to do those things. And now here in chapter 7, he starts out talking about adultery and fornication, that kind of thing. And it says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. The law is good. God gave the law. He said, why did God give the law if he knew man couldn't keep it? God gave the law to show us that the law was good and is spiritual, and the law is a schoolmaster, the Bible says in Galatians. It's to show us that we're wicked and our sin that dwelleth in us. And, you know, I have no problem with the law. I have no problem with the law as long as I'm abiding by the law. I have no problem. But when you break the law, then that's when you have a problem. And sin is in us. It will cause us to break the law. Go to your Galatians chapter 3. go to Galatians chapter 3 in the law. Now, we're not getting to heaven by the law, that's for sure. There's no way you and I could get to heaven by the law. Now, but the Jews did. I mean, there's Jews in the Old Testament. They had to keep the law. They had to obey and go, and they had to go to take a sacrifice to the tabernacle. They had, but for atonement. And the law was, had to be atoned for, the law, and Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. And the Bible says in verse 21 of chapter 3, Galatians, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For there have been a law given which could have given life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. But before the law, faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our, what, schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And the law was to show us that we're sinners, that we need Christ. Now look at verse 13 of chapter 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses every one that hangeth on the tree. And Jesus Christ became the curse in our place. The law brings judgment. And look at verse 17. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years afterwards, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. God gave a promise. Abraham was not under law. He was under promise. And then law came with Moses, and the law was given. And the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, notice that, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we that have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. It says, verse 19, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Christ. When you got saved, the Bible says your spirit was dead. And when God made it alive, you got married to Jesus Christ and by faith. Now look in Romans chapter 7 again. Know ye that, brethren, that I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, there's no divorce there, and she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. It says, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manners of concupiscence, that's evil things and evil thoughts and evil ways. For without the law, sin was dead. For if I live without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and commandment is holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. working death in me by that which is good, and sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And then it goes on, and he shows you the two natures. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent on the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. An old preacher used to say, he said, when I pray, I sin. When I repent, I sin. And he said, my very repentance needs to be repented of. And what happens is the old man, the biggest battle you and I have as Christians is ourselves. That's the biggest battle. We always want to blame the devil. We want to blame the world. But the biggest battle is us. You can be the perfect Christian in here and still sin dwelleth in you. And that's why that's why I said the stupidest thing for a Christian to believe that you don't have to confess your sins after you're saved. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Because you've always got sin there. And the Bible gives you, when it starts out in chapter 7, talking about a woman being bound to her husband, and it talks about adultery. And it's no divorce there, but she steps out and goes on. And that's what we do to Jesus Christ. We do that to him. But the Bible gives allowance for divorces, and we've gone through that before. And now you say, is that adultery and fornication, all that stuff? Is it is sin? Yes, it's sin. Can it be forgiven? Yes, it can. Can it be moved on? Can you move on in your life? Yes, you can. You can move on and serve God. People, I don't care. I tell people, I don't care if what you've done. If you're still breathing, you repent over it. God blesses you. He'll use you. And before I was saved, I was like an animal, man. So some of you men were like animals running around. And that's the way the world looks at it. The world's like a bunch of animals. But as a Christian, we sin and get into sin and do stupid things. And you need to confess that thing, get the thing right. And get it right if it's between a husband and wife, get it right. And do the right thing. Now, go back to chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. See that thing? When you got saved, you got in Jesus Christ, we're espoused to, Paul told us that we're espoused to Christ. The marriage is not taking place yet, but we're a part of him. We're espoused to him. Look at when he comes back, there's going to be the marriage supper lamb. And we're going to be espoused to him. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to enjoy the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord. But he's in us and we're in him. Now, go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. And show you that marriage supper. When you got saved, you're part of him. Now, can a Christian perform spiritual fornication? Yes. A Christian can, if you fall, I know some people that are saved and fell away and they start messing around with other things and they say, I don't even believe that Jesus Christ died for me and all that stuff. They're committing spiritual fornication. Why? When Jesus Christ saved them, he bought them. You say, can a person be saved and go away from the Lord? Yeah. I've seen it happen over and over again. Now look at this, Revelation 19. Look at it says. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That's where we get this thing about, wow, ladies walking down the aisle in white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So when you got saved, you got in Christ, and you're part of him, and one day it's going to be a marriage take place. But we're a part of him now. We're espoused to him. The Bible says we're already seated in heavenly places. And then there's going to be a marriage supper. And I'm looking forward to that. Amen. And I used to have a hard time with that. I used to have a hard time thinking, married to Jesus Christ, I'm not funny. I'm not, you know, I used to have a hard, when I first got saved, I couldn't understand that. And, but it's not a sense of a sexual thing. It's not a sexual thing. It's being part of him. And God made man, and then he gave woman from the rib, and he gave that so and made her a womb man to be able to produce seed and children and reproduce reproduce on this earth and have children. And so I used to have a hard time when somebody said, "Oh, we're going to get married to Jesus Christ." I thought, I don't know, man. I don't know about that stuff. And when I started reading my Bible, then I started understanding that what it is. And it's not a sexual thing. It's being part of him. And so look at this in verse 4. It says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Now, if a man's not bringing forth fruit unto God, or a woman's not bringing forth fruit unto God, then it's bad news for that person, because God saved you, and he expects fruit in your life. It says, "When ye were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work into our members to bring forth fruit unto death." And every time we go our way in the flesh, every time we say, "Well, I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going back to doing the same old junk," then you're working death in your life. And so when I first got saved, I still had a hard time with drinking. And for about a year or so, I was up and down about drinking and doing drugs. And I fell a couple times. I fell and got drunk and got messed up doing drugs. And I remember crying out to God. It never bothered me before about doing it, but I remember crying out to God, asking him to forgive me. Amen. Laying in a ditch one night, drunk, looking up to heaven, saying, "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, God." I just left the bar. And I walked home. It was raining. Slipped in the ditch and laid there for a little bit, looking up, saying, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Why? Because when I asked Jesus Christ to save me, he's inside me, and my members belong to him. I was married to him or espoused to him. And look at verse 6. "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." Now, when I got saved, it was a harder thing was to get to a point where I could, you know, just put away things in my life that wasn't pleasing the Lord. The drugs, the drinking, the chasing the women, all that kind of stuff. I had to put that stuff away because it wasn't pleasing to God. But the Lord helped me with that stuff. And like I said, he helped me because it wasn't pleasing. It was just it was working death and bringing judgment upon myself. And God's more, he's more lenient when it comes to a child of God that just got saved. He's more lenient to you. And just like we're more lenient with a baby, the first time the baby messes a diaper, you don't throw the baby out, you throw the diaper out. And God does the same thing. He'll clean your mess up. He'll straighten things out. And as you get older and you start looking in the Bible, you start growing, as God expects fruit in your life. He ought to see some things. As a child grows up, a child learns how to crawl. A child learns how to, when he crawls, he learns how to start saying mama, dad. And he starts saying words. We get excited about that. God gets excited about that. When his children start growing, and that's why faith comes by hearing by the word of God. When you're in church, that's why it's important in church, read your Bible. You start growing, God gets excited to see things in your life changing, because you want to change not for somebody else or for the preacher. You want to change for him, be pleasing to him, and makes him excited about that. And when God sees that in your life, he blesses you. Even though you still fall, you fall and he picks you up. It's just like a baby crawling. Then you say, come on, walk. And the baby starts walking a little bit. And then it falls on his face. And then you say, come on, get up. Try it again. And the Lord showed me everything that we do with our babies, our children, God does the same thing with us. But he expects us to try. He expects us to want to do right. He expects those things. I've seen Christians been saved for 10, 15, 20 years, go right back to the world, and then they end up, the Lord brings judgment on them. Then they get mad. They get mad at God. And then they quit, and there's no fruit in their life. And they bring judgment even further on their life because of rebellion in their life. Amen. For the Bible says, verse 5, "For we were in the flesh, The motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, as you're saved, there ought to be some fruit in your life for life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. There ought to be some fruit in our life to bring life and bring others to life. There ought to be something producing in our lives. I knew there was something changed in my heart. It wasn't, I didn't get brainwashed or anything like that. I just knew there was something different. The night I got saved, I knew there was something different. I knew something moved inside me, and I wanted to be pleasing to God. My brother was killed in 1972. I remember going outside saying, God, you blankety blank, you blankety blank. I was cursing him. I said, if you're up there, I want to know. You hear me? You blankety blank. And I remember laying on my brother's grave, drunk, crawling over the fence at the graveyard, laying out there asking my brother, forgive me for all the stuff I did to him. Whew. I wanted some good fruit in my life. Amen. I wanted to be pleasing to him, to God. And there's people that God sent my way to help me, to have that life more abundantly. My wife and I, we were going together when I was 14 years old. And I was running around like an animal. And we were going together when I was 14. We decided, all right, it's better to marry than to burn. We got married. At 19 years old, we got married. And we said, we're going to raise our kids for God. You say, did y'all have a sinless life? No, we were a bunch of sinners, man. Amen. We were wicked as hell. And we lived like that. But we got saved. Things started changing in our lives. And we wanted to go to the church. We wanted to learn what the book said. We wanted to do, and that's what bothers me. See, Christians have been saved and want to go out to the world.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
When I got saved, I wanted to get in. I wanted to learn something about God. I wanted to know more about him. I just didn't want to live my life saying, well, the preacher said, and the preacher said, and the preacher. I didn't want to live my life like that. Amen. I thank God the Lord gave me a little bit. I mean, he gave me the preacher, and he gave me some people to help me and to guide me. But I didn't want to live my life just saying the preacher said. I wanted to know what God said. And what happens to a lot of Christians, they never get in this book. They never grow, and they dry up. They wither away. When Jesus Christ walked by that tree and he said there was no fruit on it, he cursed it. I didn't want to wither away. Then I got around Christians that were supposed to be, you know, real good Christians, and I found out they were now, ripping people off. Yeah. They were stealing. They were doing all kinds of stuff. And I thought, my God, that ain't right. Yeah. That ain't right. And then the Lord just said, hey, you just do right.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You do right. What happens is they that compare themselves among themselves is not wise.
Amen.
You start trying to judge yourself between so-and-so over here or so-and-so over there. You say, well, I'm just doing as good as they are. That ain't right.
Amen.
You're supposed to say, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. I pray that all the time. I go in my bathroom. I pray, get on my knees right by the toilet all the time. I go in there and say, God, I know where I deserve. I know where I need to be. God, but use me. And God, help me be a blessing. And Lord, I want fruit in my life. And I want to be pleasing to you. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't please God without faith. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you ought to be desiring to grow. Instead of just run, you know, I'll go to church. Yeah, I'll go to church. Well, you know, lost people go to church. But Christians ought to be growing. They ought to be learning. They ought to be studying. They ought to be praying, seeking God on a daily basis. God, who should I talk to today? God, should I give this tract this? You know, and asking God. And I'll tell you what, start asking him, you start praying. God, show you stuff. I wanted to know there was a real, when I said, God, if you're up there, you blankety blank, I want to know. I want to know, and I still want him to be leading in my life. I want him to do it. Now, the Bible says the new man, verse 6, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve. Notice that word, serve. Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be, you know, I watched the thing. They said, we're building champions for Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Leadership conferences. Everybody wants to be a leader. And you ought to be a leader, in a sense. But what about serving?
Amen.
You know what y'all did during this youth rally? A lot of people served. A lot of people just serve. And they're just happy being a servant. You know what I want to do? I want to be a servant. As a pastor, I got to be a leader and example, but I want to be a servant. That's, and you know, I remember one time years ago, we had a revival here and had a black pastor come by and a couple of the deacons. I went downstairs. I said, y'all eating anything? So I went down there and I started getting them plates and everything. And the pastor said this. He said, look at there. Look at there. Look at the preacher. He's a servant. And I took that as a compliment.
Amen.
I want to be a servant.
Amen.
That's why I work on the buses. That's why I do what I do. I want to serve. And whether anybody pats me on the back, whether anybody says, well done, good job, preacher, that don't matter.
Amen.
When y'all had that 30-year thing for me, yeah, I didn't need that. I didn't need a 30-year, recognition of being here 30 years. I didn't need it. But thank you for it. But you know what? If you make up your mind you're going to be a servant, you don't get offended.
Amen.
I'm just a servant. A servant stands and waits on tables. He waits on tables. You know what deacons are? They're like it. The Bible says they're to wait on tables.
Amen.
And everybody wants to be in charge. And to tell you the truth, I really don't want to be in charge. I really don't. I don't want to be in charge. I've got to be in charge. Jack Wood said one time, he said this, cracked me up. He said, people say, you're a dictator, you're a dictator. He said, well, just keep all the other, he's the reason why I'm a dictator, to keep all the other dictators down. And I don't want to be a dictator. I never want to be. I really didn't even want to be in charge. I just want to serve. And that's what a Christian ought to be. Just want to serve. Now, look at what the Bible says in verse 6. Now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. The law is not sin. Nothing wrong with the law. It's just sin. The problem is sin in our life. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. I have no problem with the speed limit. I have no problem with those things, as long as I'm not speeding. Seatbelt law, I can't stand.
Amen.
I hate the seatbelt law. I hate it. And you got to put the seatbelt on. They're making cars now that is automatic. You know, they've tried that, but they broke. Trying to make it where as soon as you get in, the thing straps you in by itself. You can't. My grandkids all love to ride with me because I don't make them strap in until Mama says something. And if Becky says something. Now, Becky, all my kids are real funny about leaving the kids. I left here the other day. I left Jordan here with, who was it? I left him here with, was it you?
Ryan.
No, Joe and Ryan. And I got home. I had to go get something at the house. Jordan said, can I stay here? I said, sure, Joe and Ryan's here. So I took off and went to the house, and I came back, and I was getting something at the house. Becky says, where's my son at? Where's my son? I said, oh, I left him with them. What? You don't leave him nowhere, And
I found him in the street. He was all right.
And I'm still thinking about the day when, when I was a kid, when I was 5 or 6, 7 years old, my father would say, he'd call the house, Tell Alan, get on his bike and ride. I'd had to ride, 10 miles to go meet my father on the bike to go pick up trash. And, I'd ride my bike through town and down through the, place. And then when I was 7, 8 years old, my father would let me take the truck. I'd take a steak body truck and drive across the highway around the mall. It was pick up trash. And 7, 8 years old, I couldn't even sit on the seat. I had to stand up, and I shifted and pushed clutch and all that stuff. And and my father let me do all kinds of stuff, man. I was just, but this day and time, you watch everything, your kids. I don't know how I got talking about that. Let's go back. Yeah, confessing my sins. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Everybody in this room we've got that sin nature in us, and the law tells us this is wrong. It's wrong. And we men can commit adultery. Women can commit adultery in their heart.
Right.
You can commit adultery in your heart by looking at something you shouldn't look at. Or coveting something you shouldn't have, or, you know, are coveting somebody else's stuff that they have. We're all in the same boat, folks. The same boat is full of sin. We got to confess the thing, get the thing right. And that's, like I said, that's got to be the stupidest thing that anybody ever said, that you don't have to confess your sins after you're saved. Verse 7, what shall we say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manners of concupiscences. For without the law, sin was dead. Before the law came, you know, but when law came, it showed that, you know, we're sinners. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So, and when that explains, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. That explains this. In Ephesians chapter 2, when you show this to people and explains what Jesus said, Jesus said, a fellow came and said, I got to go bury my, can I just have leave? I got to go bury my parents or my, you know, I got to go bury. And Jesus said this. He said, let the dead bury the dead. How can the dead bury the dead? If a man's not saved, he's good as dead.
Right.
Before I was saved, I was a dead man. I was a walking dead man. So were you. Now look what the Bible says. For you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Isn't it something how people are fascinated? They go crazy over the walking dead.
Yeah.
They're going, say, that's going to be future, folks. The walking dead, that's really going to happen. It's really going to happen one day. And the world's preparing everybody for it. Isn't it something these people, these dead things are trying to get people and kill them and bite them and mutilate them, and they're locking them, they're running for their life. That's tribulation, man. They're running for their life. So where do they get this stuff from? They get it from the Bible. They don't even know they're getting it from the Bible. They get it from, well, one day that's going to happen. People are fascinated with it. They can't miss the show.
Yeah.
They've got to watch it every time. I don't care about watching that mess.
Amen.
People go see stuff, you know, about the end of the world and all that stuff. Hollywood's just preparing them for it. And that's why, what do you think Hollywood, why they're so liberal and why they're so against anybody that's trying to be morally right?
That's right.
They're against it. They hate people trying to be morally right.
Right.
Where in time past, verse 2, walked according to the course of this world. The world's on a collision course. And the collision course is against Jesus Christ, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are ye saved. And have raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you were dead before you were saved. And what, you know, you can say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me alive.
Amen.
It's almost like the Lord takes this veil off your eyes so you can see things a little bit clearer.
Amen.
And the world doesn't see it. The world says, what we're doing here is stupid. Reading that old Bible, that's an old ancient thing. They ain't got nothing new. Yes, it does.
Amen.
Every day, man. Every day it gives you how to live, how to even eat, how to, man, survive as a Christian. It gives you what you need. So the world looks at you like, you're crazy, do that. Go to church, read your Bible, pray. There ain't no God. And the world always says what's good is bad, and what's bad is good.
Right.
They say that in Isaiah. And God said, woe unto them that say that. Because that shows you the signs of the time and shows you who's in charge. The devil's in charge. He's the god of this world. Go back to Romans 7. We'll close with this. He says, verse 8, we'll read on down about verse 10. He said, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manners of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. But I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. We got to read on down to verse 14. Wherefore the law is holy, and commandment is holy, and just and good. That's why Jesus Christ kept the law. And the Bible says if you offend the law in James, it says you offend the law at one point, you're guilty for every bit. And Jesus Christ kept the whole law. He's the only one ever has. And it says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, but that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And then he goes on, the great thing, he says, and that which I do I allow not, and for what I would I do not, but what I hate, that I do. So you'll find as a Christian, you got that dual nature always battling. You'll never, ever, till the Lord calls you home, you'll never get over the fight. And when the Bible says put on the whole armor of God that you may be a stand in the evil day, there's times every day you live, you're going to have temptations come on you heavy. Things going to come at you heavy. You're going to be, wanting to go out and get into sin, go do something that you shouldn't do. And there's going to be a constant battle of the old man, new man. If you don't read your Bible on a daily basis, you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. That's why you can't just crack your Bible when you come to church. You got to be reading your Bible on a daily basis. That's your food. And if you're growing, you're getting stronger. You're either sitting here this morning as a child of God, you're either going to get stronger as a child of God or you're going to get weaker. And then before long, sin will just, you'll say, I'm tired of fighting. And it'll just take over. And it'll be your demise as a child of God. And we're in a battle. And the battle is raging. And sin, and I feel sorry for the kids these days, man, with all the, we say, well, look at all the technology and all that stuff. Yeah, but it's their downfall.
That's right.
That stuff, they got stuff available to them right there, man, looking at it. Where you and I, when we growing up, we didn't have that right there in front of our face. We had TV, but further back, you had to go across the tracks to go find something wrong. Now you got it right in the palm of your hand. It made it so easy for us to sin and lust. So easy. So I feel for the kids. Man, that's why we need to pray for the kids. I told Michael Shane what I wanted to do is have couples in our church, men and women, man and wife, to go sit in the teenage class with the teenagers, for about a month each family. That way you'd be getting to know the kids, teenagers, and know how to pray for them. And be with them and see and hear and maybe hear some of their testimonies and stuff. How are we going to work that out yet? But I wanted the couple of this church so you can get a burden for the teens. And some of the families already got teenagers. They know about what the teens are facing and stuff like that. And it's a battle to keep them away from the stuff. So anyway, Father, thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that Paul wrote this down in the Bible. Lord, and Romans chapter 7 about the battle that takes place and how sin, taking occasion, has become death to us. Not the law. The law is good and holy, but the law showed us that we needed Christ. And the law was our schoolmaster. And Lord, thank you, God, for this book. Lord, thank you, God, that we have a Bible we can study. Help us to study it. Help us not to lay it in the windshield. And help us to read it on a daily basis. Help us to get stronger and stronger in the Word of God. And that we might not sin against thee. Help us to hide the word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, we thank you. Now bless this day and bless Mama's Day for all our moms here today. God bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.